Hi guys.
Hey, Debbie, how are you?
I'm absolutely thrilled beyond belief to talk with the two of you about Palm Royale. I am so in love with this series and your work. And if it were up to me, I'd be handing you Emmy Awards today for what you've done. I don't foresee anything else during the balloting year to come close to the work that you have done on this series.
Thank you for that really amazing compliment.
I've seen all 10 episodes, so I'm just blown away by all of it. And notably, yes, we have the Slim Aaron's influence going through every aspect of this, but I love the detail that both of you bring to the series in terms of the production design and the set dress. Right down to things such as brocade pattern wallpapers that picks up brocade fabric from an evening gown. Those little details make it a little more ostentatious but luxurious. And I'm just mind blown by it. So I'm curious, where did the two of you even start crafting this sumptuous visual masterpiece? I'm glad you mentioned the color as well because the color is phenomenal. But the architecture and the individual designs, and Ellen, your set dress is just amazing. I like the diversity that you bring in here. We've got, the Saga Motel, which is where Maxine stays. We have the Delacorte Mansion, the hotel, the ballroom, the sauna, the steam room, the pool area, Robert's guest house. I want to move in there. I want to move in there. That is gorgeous. And oh my God. And then the bookstore, because you've got definite themes that also speak to the people inhabiting these worlds. Robert, he's very down to earth. He's from Puerto Rico. Everything in there, it's green, it's alive, it's vibrant. It goes with his passion for music. The bookstore with the browns and the golds, it suits Laura Dern's character absolutely perfectly. And the mindset and the whole almost edgy hippie vibe starting to come in. And the Delacorte Mansion is just beyond belief. Where did you even start with apportioning each of these rooms to each character? Because the designs of each space are so uniquely, they're so unique and distinctive that all you have to do is take a look at. You could look at the fashion boutique with the couture and nobody in it, and you'd know exactly where you are. You can look at the different pools or look at the different parties at the balls. You have made each ball so different that it's unbelievable. So how do you set up this differential to specify for each character in space?
So, we met really early on with the Palm Beach Preservation Foundation and kind of asked them about the history of Palm Beach from the early inception in the late 1800s with the likes of like Flagler coming in and establishing a lot of the prominent hotels, you know, one now being known as the Breaker. And also kind of what happened from that inception through the early 1900s, the 1920s, the 1930s, how that affected the shaping of Palm Beach, and then asked also about like what was the cultural changes that were occurring in the 1960s, architecturally, socially, culturally. And so kind of with that baseline of an amazing foundation that their archivist gave us, we set up kind of a division of region. So we had the Palm Beach haves and the West Palm Beach have-nots. And so from right there, we created different color palettes. In Palm Beach, the women are loud, rich, luxurious, and we decided to assign a color palette to each woman that was bold and vibrant, but not in terms of its saturation level necessarily, just in terms of its like richness. And then we really made sure that it was Alex's costumes, and when they came into the space and those women, they were the loud objects in each. So, for example, Norma's color palette is like the dark, deep, luxurious greens. Mm-hmm. Dinah's palettes are more of the soft baby blues and whites. And so when you look at it in contrast to West Palm Beach, so the nail salon, the West Palm Beach Motel, the bookstore, these are spaces where we were able to shift and saturate the vibrancy with teals and oranges and reds, teals, oranges, pinks. There was a lot more vibrancy, almost insinuating that like there's a cultural vibrancy that is more real in these spaces, and these characters are a little bit more real. And there's also a kind of a very calculated approach so that when the women from Palm Beach in their loud color costumes come into the domain of a West Palm Beach establishment, they're kind of surrounded by a color that is equally as vibrant as they are, and they kind of lose their visual prominence. Mm-hmm. And we also started to play with that as well. When characters from West Palm Beach move into Palm Beach, they start bringing some of those colors with them and dropping and polluting them into the spaces. So, for example, Robert's Pool House, the baseline of that entire space, the green grass cloth, the green flock wallpaper, those are all Norma's color palette. But if you look at the couches that Ellen brought into the space that are this like brilliant mustard orange color, that is a West Palm Beach color. Mm-hmm. Robert being a West Palm Beach character, dropping into a Palm Beach place. Same thing when Maxine is decorating the smoking room and the big oyster tower for episode 3, the cocktail tower. All the florals that are brought in from Linda, a West Palm Beach, and Maxine, West Palm Beach transplant, are using the West Palm Beach colors, yellows, oranges, pinks. So we started to play with this idea of color pollination. And the other rule we set up to specifically for the women in Palm Beach was architectural differentiations between each of their estates. So we knew that we wanted Norma to have the most storied, most historical, and we kind of went with this idea of an Italianate villa. Mm-hmm. Whereas on contrast, like Dinah mentioned before, safe, conservative, Upper East Coast, New York transplant, she's in the, you know, the pastels of Americana, and she's in a more colonial style house. That feels a little bit more like outwardly projected, conservative, safe, but we all know inside what's going on behind the closed doors is definitely anything but conservative. And so those are kind of rules that we created in terms of architecture and color. Like I was saying before, Alex could take and run with in terms of costuming, and Ellen could take and run with in terms of decoration to really like enhance and bring those other layers that I think gave the character that each of the spaces needed to personify the women.
Ellen, I don't know how you pulled it off, but how did you source all of the contents for all of these spaces? I look at Norma's house, the entire mansion, all the right down to the tchotchkes. I look at the balls, the Havana Nights ball, the fib ball. And of course, the highlight of it all, the beach ball. That chandelier is to die for. But all of the decor and everything that's included, How did you find everything? Where did you go? Because it's also, in the homes, it's very period appropriate for 1969.
Actor in the time, is now going to live on in another series, you know, posthumously. I mean, it's really quite a beautiful thing. And so her belongings, even down to her bed, we bought her bed, which becomes Norma's bed. And we used the crown portion, the wood crown portion. She had it upholstered differently, so I had, you know, reupholstered the entire thing and selected different fabrics for it that fit our set. But many of her items are in our set, and I think that's
wow.
It worked out beautifully for the show, and I think it really worked out, you know, quite beautifully for her estate as well and her heritage. So that's
That is spectacular. That is fantastic. Wow.
It gets even better, actually.
Oh, do tell.
So we, you know, when assigning the different architectural styles to each of the characters, I just spoke with our location manager about really want to lean into like a Spanish revival, Spanish colonial or Moorish estate for Evelyn. And we originally had selected this kind of incredible house in La Cañada, Flintridge, but it's quite difficult to film there. We realized that the amount of time that we needed was not going to align with the local municipality, so we ended up losing the location, which was soul-crushing. And so while I was kind of wallowing in the corner of the art department, Stacy, the location manager, sent me a text message. What do you think about this house for Evelyn? Would you like to get in it? I can, you know, would you like to go see if I can get us in? And I pull up the link, and it's a link to an estate sale. And it was literally completely serendipitously and separate. She sent me the link, and it was the place that Ellen was shopping at that very moment. And I was like, this is too fortuitous. I have to go see it. So we went to the location and realized this is Evelyn. Like, this feels like Evelyn. And so that estate in Bel Air that Ellen had shopped at for Norma, then became Evelyn's home. And it was kind of perfect because usually when we go into these big estates, we kind of have to remove a lot of the furniture so we can kind of bring in our character-specific furnishings.
Mm-hmm.
But Ellen had really just already done that, bringing it all to stage for Norma, and so we had a blank canvas to work for Evelyn so we could kind of bring in all of her character nuances, sculptures and art selections, and taxidermy. So it was just kind of this insane fate that kind of occurred in that situation. It just felt like extremely right and like it was meant to be.
Wow. That doesn't happen too often. Now, I'm curious. One thing that you do so well that I really love that I don't think people do as much now in the 21st century in 2024 as they did back in the 1960s and 50s, because in Norma's house especially, I see a lot of holdover that would have been there older from mid-century modern and the tchotchke things from that era. But everything is layered. You build and you layer on tabletops, on fireplace mantles. I love the depth that you give. Everything is so three-dimensional that it brings its own vibrancy. Was that always a consideration to be that period specific and have layers to give everything depth and texture?
Yes, for sure. We, you know, Norma's the matriarch of Palm Beach, and the Delacorte name has been in Palm Beach for quite some time, and we wanted to show that depth. And so we wanted to show the history of it. And so when you look at her spaces, there are objects in there that are, you know, decades and decades older than the 50s, sometimes centuries older. And we wanted to show that sort of breadth there. And also, you know, when you look at those spaces, you really could be almost in any time period. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't know exactly where you are because, you know, there's the cues that are there. Could really, you could say, oh my, are we in 1910? Are we in 1950? Are we in 1920? You know, and so for me and for John, it was really important to root the room in some way into the 60s. And the way we did that was through the main furniture pieces. So if you look at the two sofas that flank the fireplace,
mm-hmm.
And you look at some chairs that are around, those are 60s pieces. One, because a woman like Norma would, every decade, she's going to change her main pieces of furniture where people are coming to sit. It gives a fresh look to the space. And for us, it was very important to say there had to be some kind of tell. Sometimes it's in electronics or things like that, and there were no electronics that we used. There was no televisions in those rooms and that sort of thing. So I figured that the best way to really do it was through the furniture pieces. And when you look at those, when you look at those styles, you'll see that they are 60s based. And then we reupholster them to fit the style of the room.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned televisions. You did a great job at finding the appropriate televisions that we do see in several instances dealing with the moon, with the moon landing and spaceman. So I love that you found the old televisions that are period appropriate. Yeah. Now, I would be remiss not to ask you about specifically about the beach ball, because I understand, I have heard a rumor that you actually got the Biltmore to let you build a pool.
Yeah, that was for Havana Nights, an episode. So we originally, it was scripted that Raquel would host Havana Nights at her house. And we had selected an estate in Beverly Hills, kind of adjacent to the Beverly Hills Hotel, that we felt was perfect for Raquel. And it had this amazing pool in the center of this courtyard. And when we scouted, Abe immediately fell in love with the idea of the entire choreography of this necklace chase happening through dance, but then over a pool. And he was like, we could put a bridge over the pool, and so one character can try to get to the other side, and they can't reach the other partners. And he just kind of fell in love with this idea. But then as we started to investigate, the party is going to be at night. It's going to be over four nights of shooting. It's going to be taxing on our actors, our crew, and specifically also the neighborhood noise and playback of the music and the dancing. It was just going to be too difficult logistically. So we realized we had to shift it to an interior space, and Abe felt it was going to kind of lose the magic if we just went inside the house. Mm-hmm. So I pitched, what if we do it as something like a giant hotel ballroom that's not the Palm Royale, like we can move away from the club, but it's something like the Ballroom of the Breakers. And I, Alan and I are very familiar with the Biltmore Hotel. We've filmed there quite a bit. It's, you know, it's a staple in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, on one hand, you're a little like nervous to pitch something that's been presented so many times, but for us, that was like a challenge of how can we present it in a way that you haven't seen before. And so we went and scouted, and he's like, this is, you know, it's an amazing foundation, but I missed my pool. We find a place with the pool. And I was just like, well, why don't we build a pool? And he's like, you can do that? I'm like, we'll ask. And because Ellen and I have filmed the Biltmore so many times, we have really great relationships with the film commissioner or coordinator there. And we asked, and we, you know, build a 40-foot by 20-foot pool. So she allowed us. And you know, we had engineers out there to check the weight of the room and the distribution of the point load from the water. Lo and behold, in the course of like 2 days, we had pre-manufactured a pool with a plumb liner and brought it in and kind of built it in place and then filled it up. And it got exactly what he wanted.
Wow. Well, I know, unfortunately, I have to let you guys go. I got to hop on with Todd McMullen here, who just showcases all of your work so beautifully. Guys, as I said, this is just an amazing job. I am just gobsmacked, spellbound by your work. And it truly is award-worthy at every level. And I'm already back on my second watch of the series, just because it is so beautiful. So, and that's due to you guys. I can't thank you enough.
Incredible team.
And I hope, I can't wait to see what the two of you do next. Hopefully a season 2. And hopefully I'll get to speak with you again in the future.
We love that. Thank you for taking the time with us today.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.